thank you for the opportunity that you give us. We pray that you would speak to our hearts. We have but a short time on this earth, very short. And our memories are pretty short, too. We forget eternity. We replace it with temporary things. So keep us focused on you and your soon return and what you have planned for us. In Christ's name, amen. So we're in Revelation chapter 22, verses 6 through 11. So I'm going to read that right through, and then we'll break it down. And he said to me, that is, the angel said to John, these words are faithful and true. And the Lord, the God of the spirits of the prophets, sent his angel to show his bondservants the things which must soon take place. Behold, I'm coming quickly. Blessed is he who heeds the words of the prophecy of this book. And I, John, am the one who heard and saw these things. And when I heard and saw, I fell down to worship at the feet of the angel who showed me these things. But he said to me, do not do that. I'm a fellow servant of yours and of your brethren, the prophets, and of those who heed the words of this book. Worship God. And he said to me, do not seal up the words of the prophecy of this book, for the time is near. And let the one who does wrong still do wrong, and the one who is filthy still be filthy. And let the one who is righteous still practice righteousness, and the one who is holy still keep himself holy. Two words stand out. These words, he says, are not to be concealed. We read in the book of Daniel, chapter 12, that the prophecy was to be sealed until the end times. The angel told John, these are the end times. Do not conceal all that you know, all that was seen from Revelation 1 through Revelation 22. So it was concealed, but now it's revealed of what's happening. And the word of the Lord is saying, I'm coming soon. Just a quick synopsis, because we're going to be running into Daniel chapter 12 on a few verses. But the main prophetic words that are found in the book of Daniel is Daniel 7, Daniel 9, Daniel 11, and Daniel 12. And they summarize a little bit about the Antichrist, the abomination of desolation. You remember Jesus said that in Matthew? He said, when you see the abomination of desolation, he gets this from the prophecy of Daniel. So this book is teaching about the Antichrist, the abomination of desolation, the tribulation, the resurrection, and the final kingdom of God. And also, last but not least, the condition of the hearts of peoples who are saved and those who aren't saved. Those who are righteous, keep practicing righteousness. Those who are filthy, keep practicing that. It's a pronouncement. Be who you are. If you belong to me, stay there. Keep being that. Part of the words that we see in Daniel is, those who have insight will see what's going on. That is from the word of God. It's no longer concealed. It's revealed. Someone wrote, and I copied it down. It says, Daniel and Revelation fit together like two halves of the same prophetic picture. Daniel gives the framework. Revelation fills in the details. Daniel is concealed until the end time. Revelation is revealed in the events of the end times. I do believe, without going into too much, these are the end times. But let's talk a little bit about the scripture verses. In chapters 22, verse 6, it tells us that his return is sudden, quick. Doesn't mean time-wise. It means once it happens, it's going to happen rapidly. Boom, 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 boom. So when he says soon, he's not speaking about the next hour or the next day. He's speaking about when it happens, you won't have a chance to change. It's going to happen that quickly. The rapture, for instance, once that happens, you can't say, oh, wow, I wish I was in that. It's too late. You got to go through the tribulation. But he said here, and he said to me, these words are faithful and true. And the Lord, the God of the spirits of the prophets, sent his angel to show to us, his bondservants, the things which soon must take place. So again, soon is not necessarily time-wise, but it'll happen suddenly without delay once it starts. Thessalonians 5 speaks the same thing. It says, but you, brethren, you're not in darkness, that that day should overtake you like a thief. For you're sons of light and sons of the day, and not of the day, not of the night or the darkness. So then let us not sleep as others do, but let us be alert and sober. And so that's my mission today, is just to bring to remembrance of where we are and to stay alert. Jesus said to the five virgins, or to the 10 virgins, five had the oil, five didn't. And he said to the five who didn't, truly I say to you, I do not know you. Be on the alert then, for you do not know the day or the hour. So we have a tendency as humans to do like what Peter did in the Garden of Gethsemane, the most important pain that Jesus was feeling. He was sleeping, and he was sleeping three times. So we, in our own weaknesses, sleep even through tragic times or even through very important times. And this is a very important time that you're living in. It was said about Esther, because she was placed there as the queen, for such a time as this, God has placed you here. And I believe in our own lives, you could have been born 100 years earlier. I don't think we got 100 years later. I really don't. But for such a time as this, God had you be born to the family that you live in, to your size, your weight, your color, all of that place. You had nothing to do with that. That was God's ordination of who you are. So we thank him. And it's easy now. You don't have to have design babies, you know, as they're trying to do today. You were born where God wanted you to be born. But stay alert. Be dressed in readiness. Keep your lamps lit. You too be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour that you do not expect. And once it happens, it's going to happen suddenly and quickly, and there'll be no time to change. In verse 7, he says, and behold, I am coming quickly. Blessed is he who heeds the words of the prophecy of this book. And that word heed means to take action, to guard, to watch over, heed. It's not just all hearing one ear. Yeah, okay, we're in the last days. But it's to take action. It's to prepare yourself. It's to prioritize your life with Jesus Christ. So many distractions. We all fight them. It really takes a commitment to understand the things of this world are passing away. The lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the boastful pride of life. It's not going to be in the eternal kingdom. So why invest your time in that? See, the tree witness to that. So why waste your time investing in the things of this world? Now, I'm not saying you should live as a pauper, but only you can decide in your own mind and the Holy Spirit, wow, you know, I'm not like I should be, and I'm not like I want to be. And there's a part of this message that's going to be spoken about, is that in the last days, there's a purging, there's a purifying, and there's a refining. Those three you could write down. A purging, a purifying, and a refining. That's what he said would occur in Daniel chapter 12, and we'll talk about that in a minute. The time is near. Verse 8. So I, John, not me, but John, am the one who heard and saw these things. And when I heard and saw, I fell down to worship at the feet of the angel. You know, the word angel actually means messenger. You know, when you read to the churches, to the angel of each church, that word is angelos, which can be a human messenger, that's what it means, or a supernatural messenger. So when he's speaking to the angel of these particular seven churches, he's not speaking to an angel of a supernatural, because they're not in charge of churches, but he's speaking to the messenger who's in charge of that church, which would be the pastor. And also when you read in James, it says that Rahab hid the angels in the original Greek, which is translated messengers in your Bible. But it's the same Greek word, so it's a matter of context of when do you use supernatural angel as a messenger or as a human messenger. So this is a supernatural angel. When I saw and heard, I fell down to worship at the feet of the angel who showed me these things. But he said to me, this is important. Do not do that. I'm a fellow servant. What he's saying here, we serve the same master. Don't worship me. We're equal. We're all equal. Pastors, evangelists, people who just come to church to listen to the Lord. Never worship a song leader. Never worship a pastor. We're all fellow servants of the same God. And when you put someone on a pedestal, you're making an idol. Can I get an amen? Amen. So this angel who is supernatural in power and might said, hey, it's not about me. I'm just like you. We serve the same master. I'm a fellow servant of yours and of the brethren, the prophets, and of those who heed the words of this book. And here's the answer. Worship God. You don't worship Mary, as honorable as she is, being the mother of Jesus Christ. She was handpicked by God, and the angel Gabriel gave her that word. You don't worship saints. They can't intercede for you. That was old thinking. Those are traditions. Those are not biblical. The angel very clearly said, don't worship me. Worship God. So angels, what do? They're ministering spirits. In Hebrews 1:14, it tells us this. Are they not all ministering spirits sent out to render service for the sake of those who will inherit salvation? So these angels are servants of God that serve you and I, those who will inherit the kingdom of God. You know, angels, we'll talk about that, are God's ministers to minister to us. You know, there are things that happen in the supernatural, in the other dimension, you can't see and I can't see. But I could tell you when I read in Daniel a little bit of some of these bad angels and what they do. But angels we don't worship and angels we don't fear, because greater is God than any angel that could ever be on the face of this earth. But they are ministering servants to us who will inherit salvation. Angels are messengers. In Daniel chapter 10, verse 12, let me read that. He said, now the angel said this to Daniel. Daniel was praying for 21 days and fasting, and he wasn't getting an answer. And this angel doesn't give us his name, but when you go reference to the angel that spoke to him prior, his name was Gabriel. It seems like Gabriel is the go-to guy to bring a message. He was the one that spoke to Zechariah, John the Baptist's father. His name was Gabriel, who stands in the presence of the Lord. And then he spoke to Mary, too. So more than likely, he was the one who spoke to Daniel. And he said to me, do not be afraid, Daniel, for the first day that you set your heart on understanding and on humbling yourself before God, your words were heard. And I have come in response to your words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia was withstanding me for 21 days. Then behold, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to me, for I had been left there with the kings of Persia. He's not speaking of natural interference. Persia, by the way, is Iran. I don't know if you know that. But it says the prince of Persia was withstanding me for 21 days to give me an answer. It was a spiritual fight that was going on. The devil just doesn't, you know, roll over. He tries to prevent the prophetic word that's going to occur. He tried to stop Jesus by being born, by killing all the innocents 2 years and under. He tried to kill the lineage of the priesthood that was going to start through Moses by Pharaoh killing all the babies, boys. He tried to wipe out the nation Israel with Haman. What I mentioned about Esther being in that position to save the whole genealogy of the religious, of the Jewish people. He wants to stop God's plan. And he still wants to stop God's plan that he has for Israel. But the Bible prophesies and tells us what will occur. Interesting, from different scripture sources, it tells us that Iran, which is Persia, there's an angel, an evil angel. The angels have regions, you know, there's a hierarchy. Jesus said, if a kingdom is divided against itself, it can't stand. When I said, you are of Satan, Beelzebul, he says, how can I be doing these good things if I belong to Satan? It can't be divided against himself. So there are powerful, different angels, just as much as in God's holy angels. Michael, he said, came to free him up. Michael who? Michael the archangel that it talks about in Jude. But again, we don't worship angels, but this is just giving you a little background history of there's a spiritual warfare going on for the souls of men and women to cause you to go back into Babylon, to cause you to go back into your old lifestyle. They're not dummies. They roam around like a roaring lion and they're snakes. You know, all of these imageries is to show the character of Satan. So when you belong to Christ, you start to stay alert, though, because especially when you're moving in the Lord and you're growing and you're exercising faith and acting out your faith, Satan puts a target on you. He can't take you down because greater is God that is in us, amen, than he that is in the world. But you need to be aware. Sometimes he'll buy you off. He doesn't have to come up. He'll buy you off. Hey, you know, you can do a lot with this particular money if you just look the other way. Or, you know, you can do this and or send a beautiful woman to a man or a beautiful man to a woman that doesn't know God. And oh, yeah, this will work. And see, now he's got you moving in a direction that will take your faith away. Can I get an amen? So you need to be aware. What keeps you from coming to church at times? You think it's always natural? Or maybe sometimes we're just plain lazy. I get that. However, there is an enemy that wants to keep you from hearing the word of God, because faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. And if he can starve you to death of the word of God, which is faith, he can take your heart away. So be aware of the tactics of Satan. We're not ignorant of his schemes. Ephesians 6:10 tells us we fight not against flesh and blood, but against the schemes of the devil, the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of darkness. So he says, therefore, be strong in the Lord. He's my strength. In the name of Jesus, he said, you'll cast out demons. He said, in the name of Jesus, you'll speak with new tongues. He said, in the name of Jesus, you'll have victory. It's not your power. It's not my power. But do we do that? I like what Jodeci said. He said, you know, what was his victory when he was feeling depressed? Do you guys remember? What was it? Louder? Louder? singing, praising. There's a song, when the praises go up, the glory comes down. Where sin used to dwell, grace now abounds. There's healing and hope and love all around. When the praises go up, the glory comes down. When Saul was attacked, when God took the kingdom away from him because of his disobedience, David came with the harp and he played. And every time he played, the demon would leave him, his depression would leave him, because he was an anointed man who was playing anointed songs. And Saul became out of himself. The devil had to leave. So the point is this. You're at war. And sometimes it's just you singing that will disperse the enemy. But you have to exercise faith. And sometimes it's hard because we're just, no, I don't have, just try one word. Just say, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells. Just simple things. And it grows and it grows. But you have to, listen to this, build yourself up on your most holy faith. Jude, do you build yourself up on your most holy faith? So there's a responsibility that we have. You get tired of getting beat up. You get tired of getting depressed. You get tired of, oh man, I'm not feeling the power or the presence of God. Well, do something about it. You can. Make a commitment. Have someone pray with you if you're too weak. Be honest. Say, Lord, I just don't have it no more. And God will meet you by his grace. So yeah, there's an angelic warfare that goes on behind the scenes. So in verse 10, the angel said again to me, do not seal up the words of the prophecy of this book, for the time is near. So let's think about that word again. Do not seal up. Why? Because the time is near. Daniel chapter 12, verse 3, turn with me there. And he'll say, seal them up, because the time is not near. In Daniel 12, 3, those who have insight will shine brightly like the brightness of the expanse of heaven, and those who lead the many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. So he's saying here, you have insight to what's happening. Do you have insight? Can you see it? Very clear. What do you think is going on in Iran? I don't want to go there right now, but let me tell you something. That is a big, 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 big step forward for Christ's second return. This is not small potatoes. This is going to go somewhere. Anyhow, those who have insight will shine brightly like the stars, and those who lead many to righteousness, that's our job to tell others. Hey, the time is short, church. We got to tell people, the time is short. How do you do that? Well, let the Holy Spirit show you. But you have to have faith to know, wow, I need to step it up. Take heed, he says. That means take action, not just know it in one ear. Prophecy is not just meant for your curiosity to get satisfied. It's to prepare you for his coming. It's to prepare you to be ready. Now, he said, you would lead many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. But as for you, Daniel, here it is, conceal those words and seal up the book until the end time. Until when? Till the end time. The Gabriel said, unseal it, which means it's the end time, these prophecies. So he says here, but if you, Daniel, conceal these words and seal up the book till the end time, many will go back and forth and knowledge will increase. So there's two layers here. Many will go back and forth. Many people and scholars say prophecy will increase. There'll be a lot more talking about it, to and fro, about what's going on. And think about that. Today, there are more prophetic channels that you could shake a stick at. More people are speaking prophetically of what's happening in the world, whether it be lawlessness increasing, whether self-love has been increasing, whether there's wars and rumors of wars. I mean, where does this come from? It comes from the Word of God. He says, these things are going to occur. You who have insight, see it, believe it, heed the word, stay prepared, stay on point. It's not a good time to fall back. It really isn't. They will go back and forth, and knowledge will increase. That is the knowledge of the prophecies of prophetic words. Since 1948, knowledge has increased so much of the prophecies of Israel coming back to become a nation. Jesus is going to come back and land on the Mount of Olives, it says. And he's going to rule from Jerusalem. So we could see the bits of pieces coming together. You have insight, but there are those who don't have insight. I was talking to someone this morning when I go into Royal Crown in Staten Island. I go there every Sunday morning. By the grace of God, I get my nice bagel toasted, extra butter. But it's interesting, the cappuccinos I used to always get, but I tried Dunkin' Donuts cappuccinos, and man, this really tastes better. And who would think, you know, Dunkin' Donuts cappuccino? So after Royal Crown, I go to Dunkin' Donuts right on the corner there. I get my cappuccino for my wife, too. She's guilty. And we just, you know, enjoy it. I go out and I read and I study and I eat. But back to Royal Crown, I'm there. And there's this man that comes in all the time. Every Sunday we meet. He's there even ahead of me. I get there at 6. He's there already. So, hey, what's going on, Tom? You know, hey, how, John? And the person that serves the cappuccino behind the counter with the big machine, we know each other for many years. He even came to the church back on Stillwell Avenue. His name is George. We wave, hi. So I go to him, hey, George, how's it going on? I said, what do you think about the Middle East? He said, wow, it's happening. And so we talked a little bit. I picked up my package of the bagel, and I go back to say goodbye again, and he says, with this gentleman standing there, he said, tell him about the rapture. I've just been telling him about the rapture. And he says, you know more than I know, so tell him about the rapture. So I had an opportunity to talk to him of what it means. Now, it's just seed. I wasn't looking to press him for, you know, to make a confession of faith. But I did urge him on. I said, you know, when the rapture comes, people are going to be taken out, disappearing, and CNN will probably say something like, yeah, the Martians came and they took them. Good, those Christians, get them out of here. They'll have some story, without a doubt. Some story. I mean, it's even, you could see right now, even in some of the headlines, is there an ET? Is there extraterrestrial? Maybe the ground is being prepared for that. The devil knows. So I look at him and I said, Tom, I said, so, yeah, only believers will be taken up. And I put my hand on his shoulder. I said, you're a believer, right? Oh, yeah, I've always believed. And I didn't push it, the difference, relationship, believing. But I just wanted to get out of him where he stood. Whether or not he had enough knowledge to be saved, I don't know. But I'm saying that to say, this is the time to step it up. This is not a time to be fearful. It's a time to be bold and say, God, give me the boldness. Let me say something and watch how God backs up his word. He backs it up all the time. If we would just take the step and have compassion for the lost who don't have insight, they don't know what's happening. So there is also a much talk of knowledge of prophetic word, but also the knowledge of natural knowledge. I mean, just think of where we are with AI. Just think of where we are with the internet. Think where we are with social media. Now, these technological advancements are just there, I believe, to fulfill God's prophecy. And I'll give you one example. The two witnesses in Revelation chapter 11. The first 3.5 years, they witnessed for the Lord. They did mighty miracles. And then the Antichrist came. And he set himself up as the abomination of desolation. That is, in the temple. The temple got rebuilt. And he sends in there, "I'm God." And the Jewish nation goes, "Great, no one's God." But then he starts killing people. And these two witnesses who were witnessing for God, calling fire from heaven, the Antichrist kills them because their time was up. So that's the story. So let's read verse 7 of Revelation 11. "And when they had finished their testimony, the beast that comes out of the abyss," that's Satan, "into the Antichrist, will make war with them and overcome them and kill them. And their dead bodies will lie on the street of the great city, which is spiritually called Sodom and Egypt." Jerusalem, the Jews there are backslidden tremendously. And you know why it's that? It says that a partial hardening has happened to them in Romans 11, so that the Gentiles would be grafted in. "But God has not rejected them," he said. "I have not rejected them. But a partial hardening has occurred in order for the gospel to come to you and I. But then when the fullness of time comes, he's going to start dealing with the nation Israel. But at this point, during the tribulation, they're going to start turning to him." And so he's given this prophecy, which is called Sodom and Egypt, where also their Lord was crucified, obviously Jerusalem. "Those from the people," listen to this, this is the part. "Those from the peoples, tribes, languages, and nations," plural, "will look at their dead bodies for 3.5 days and will not allow their dead bodies to be laid in a tomb. And those who live on the earth will rejoice over them and celebrate. And they will send gifts to one another because these two prophets tormented them, tormented those who live on the earth. And after 3.5 days, the breath of life from God came into them and they stood on their feet, and a great fear fell upon those who were watching them." Social media, live streaming, all nations, all tongues, all people were watching. How are they watching? They were watching through the technology we have today. Live streaming, social media, whatever it may be. And they were rejoicing because these two prophets brought guilt to them, hindered their way of life. We don't want to hear these guys anymore. They're dead good. Let's celebrate. Here's a gift for you. Let's drink to that. And while they let their bodies rot, they didn't rot, for 3.5 days, it says that God now spoke breath into them, and they stood up. Could you imagine those watching seeing that? Drink. And God translated them into heaven. And then a great earthquake came. So I'm saying that to say, Daniel gave us the frame, the time frame, and it was sealed. Revelation gives us the unsealing of these details. And technology seems to be moving in that direction. Wars, rumored of wars. I just can give you so many different scenarios. Just think about this for a minute. Russia was receiving 20% of their oil, cheap oil, from Iran. Now they don't. China too. Now they don't. They would get it from Venezuela. Now they don't. Cuba too. They would get it from Cuba, or they would work with Cuba. So these three main money makers are no longer theirs. Could it be that they're getting backed into a wall where they might respond with war? Because the Bible does say that Gog, which is to the north of Jerusalem, the uttermost north, is identified as Russia, will join cahoots with Turkey and Iran, Persia, and attack Israel. When does that happen? I don't know. Is it before the rapture? I don't know. Is it going to be a war first? I don't know. Maybe there's going to be peace with the Abrahamic Accord, where all of the nations are saying, "Hey, we're in for business. No more of this religion stuff. Let's make money together. Let's learn our each other culture." And that's what the Abrahamic Accords are. For all of these Muslim countries, to join with Jerusalem, Israel again. Could you imagine that? Because then the Bible says in Thessalonians, when you're saying peace, peace, then sudden destruction will come. So that's another scenario. Maybe there will be peace. Maybe it'll be a year from now, 2 years from now. Maybe it'll be tomorrow. We don't know. Or maybe it'll be a war first. We don't know. But those who have insight, you have to see the stages being set. And we have to keep our hearts and minds pure for the Lord. And we have to let people see, as Jodeci mentioned earlier, they see his integrity so they don't curse around him. But could you imagine if he joined the crowd and laughed at the filthy jokes or cursed with them? Do you think that they would stop cursing when he came in? No. They don't respect those who are like them. But if you're different and you're shining the light of Jesus, they automatically, oh, you know, he's a holy man maybe, however they want to see it. But our testimony is very important. Stay true to God and true to your testimony. So they were watching them. They freaked out, of course. And then in verse 11 of Revelation 22, let the one who does wrong, this is a pronouncement of you will be who you are. You've ever heard the expression, you sow a thought, you reap a habit. You sow a habit, you reap a lifestyle. You sow a lifestyle, you reap a destiny. So what you put in your mind is going to come to fruition. There's a pattern. There's a road that you're taking. So the question is, what thoughts are we putting in our minds? Because they're going to lead somewhere. Put God's thoughts into your mind, his truth, his word, and you get set free. Man, so how many of us were set free? I would say we've all tasted. But maybe there's some areas in our lives where we're still not freed up. Well, God's plan is I've come to give life and to give it abundantly. He's not done with us. Praise the Lord. Someone say amen to that. Someone might say, well, thank God I'm not what I was, but I'm not what I want to be. And that's a good place to be. I want more of God. So he says, let the one who does wrong still do wrong. The one who is filthy still be filthy. Let the one who is righteous still practice righteousness. And the one who is holy still keep himself holy. Keep himself. So back to Daniel chapter 12, verses 9 through 10. And he said, Daniel, go your way, for these words are concealed and sealed up to the end time. And here's what's going to happen in the end times. Many will be purged, purified, and refined. But the wicked will act wickedly, and none of the wicked will understand, but those who have insight will understand. So I know in my own life, and I could say it's generally for everyone, are you being purged? Are you being purified? Are you being refined? What does that mean? Well, when they're digging for gold, they take out half of the mountain, rocks, soil, and everything like that, and they put it in a tumbler, and the tumbler crushes the rocks because the gold is in the rocks. So when it says purging, we got to understand sometimes God crushes us in certain areas in order to get the gold because the gold is locked in. It's painful. But how about purification? And I thought of this as an analogy too. Once that tumbler crushes the rocks and they become small and they go on a conveyor belt wherever they go, they drench it with water. And the water washes away the dirt, washes away the rocks, the small rocks, and the gold settles. Why is that? Because gold is 6 to 7 times heavier than rock and any other metal. So the gold settles and the water pushes away. Do you see an analogy there? The water of his word? Jesus Christ sanctifies us through the washing of the water of his word, according to Ephesians. So his word, once I continue to listen to his word, it washes me of the filth. It washes me of my old language. It washes me so that the gold of his spirit comes shining and comes heavy in my life. The last point he says, many will be purged, purified, and refined. Here's where you want to turn to, Revelation 3:18. It's the church of Laodicea. It's a lukewarm church. They don't need nothing. They don't need money. They don't need God. And the Lord said, I wish that you were one or the other, hot or cold. Because you say you know me, but you really don't. You're lukewarm. He said, I will spit you out of my mouth. But you know what that word spit means, literally? Vomit. That's a pretty drastic, that's a pretty hard picture to see. That God does not love or like lukewarmness. Not spit, but vomit. He's saying something here. He gives a warning and he says, buy from me. Listen, in 18. I advise you to buy from me gold refined by the fire. The heat is on. The heat could be good things to take you away from God. But when you buy from him, you surrender that. You say, no, God, you're first in my life. Nothing else. And he'll bless. Seek first the kingdom of God, his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. We're being separated. Insight. Tares. Wheat. Those for God, those against God. It's obvious in politics. It's obvious in the world. It's obvious in schools. There's a big cultural fight going on. What do you think that fight is about? It's about sin. It's about ungodliness. It's about people who reject God. They want no authority in their life. They do not want God in their life. They may not say it verbally, but that's their heart. Out of the heart, the mouth speaks. So what's important for you and I? Surrender, submit. If God is refining you, if things are happening in your life that just seem to be putting you into frustration, and they just seem to be overwhelming you, and it seems to be a pattern, could it be that God is refining you? Could it be that God is purging you? I believe he is. In these last times, the bride has made herself ready. Many will be purged, purified, and refined in the last days. And he starts with the church. Clearly, Peter, judgment starts in the household of God before it goes out to the world. So if you're sensing some heaviness in your heart, I think God is trying to say something to us. I know in my life he is. I could tell you certain areas in my life that I know God is requiring of me, and the heat is on, and the only choice I have is to cry out, God, please help me. Help me, God. I don't feel the power to do this. I need you. I love that song, Abide. You know, to depend on him. And he brings me to that. And if he's bringing me to that, I'm sure there's others in the church here that he's bringing you to as well, because he's coming back soon. So here's what we do. Be honest with God. If you're lukewarm in areas of your life, be honest with God. Say, God, this is it. I can't hide it from you, but please forgive me and help me, because I help my unbelief, help my unwillingness, help my whatever it is that's preventing you that God is putting his finger on. And that sweet surrender comes. It could be something good. It could be something of sin that's strong in your life. It could be that too. But whatever it may be, you have insight. God is for us. He's not against us. And if I want to be free, he's a lot stronger than me. I cannot arm wrestle with him. And neither can you. If you're feeling miserable at times, it's time to be honest with God and just ask for His grace, and He will give it. That's what He wants to do. If you don't know why these things are happening, if you go to a doctor, you don't know why am I feeling so tired? Why is there all of this? Why is that? Well, the doctor has to find out. Well, let's take a blood test. Oh, okay, you're anemic, or this, that, and the other thing. Oh, now I get it. Well, what can I do? Well, you got to take these vitamins, whatever it may be. But you have to find out the cause. Why are you feeling that way? Get to the root. God will show you. But if you just leave it in limbo and you just go along with it, you'll never get healed. So be honest with God and be honest with yourself, and God will heal you, deliver you, and set you free. Can I get an amen? Amen. Worship team's going to come up.